This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Haramai no mai hoki mai, kahukura rainbow whānau. And of course, our MVPFAFF whānau. welcome to your show. That last beat there was Solarosa, Something Good. You're tuned into the station and the show that celebrates us, the Glitfab Rainbow MVP FAFF whānau. So that's gay, lesbian, intersex, transgender, queer, whānau, and our mahu from Tahiti and Hawaii, whakasa lewa lewa from Fiji, whaafa whine Samoa and American Samoa, akai whine from the Cook Islands, whakaleti o leti from the Kingdom of Tonga, and whakawhine from Niue. And of course, all the other flavours and colours of our rainbow. There is many, many in our world. Nā mai haramai, nō mai hoki mai. Welcome and welcome back to your show. We do news, views and interviews for and about our whānau overall. Lady H on your mic for your Funky Friday. You can live stream and podcast us from freefm.org.nz via the accessmedia.nz app, the TuneIn app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify and iHeartRadio. On your show for this afternoon, evening, we have got a fab lineup for you. What's hot and happening for your coming weekend in terms of events in Aotearoa? Gender Therapist Explains Gender Dysphoria, Part 1. That's Dr. Z, PhD. Trans Woman Asks Trans Men Questions. So it's an opportunity for them to share and ask kōrero together. Gay, Black and HIV Positive. And this is Compliments of the Guardian. That is your lineup. And of course, the beats through there to match all those little snippets or segments. That is us, whānau. That is your show. Stay tuned. We've got more for you soon.
It is Mecca. It's Wakanda. It is a refuge. If you live in the South and you happen to be Black and be gay, this is as free a city as you're going to find. I think it's the greatest place on earth.
When I moved here, I was like, oh, thank God, yeah. I would have a new clean slate. I can reinvent myself. I'm able to be comfortable in my own skin.
You have all these Black gay men rushing to Atlanta, and Atlanta is not the land of milk and honey they thought it was going to be.
Who thinks that they're going to be diagnosed with an illness that could possibly kill you, that you may not see 30 or you may not see 40.
White America believes this is over.
I mean, you actually hear people say the height of the epidemic. There is no way that 1989 was the fucking height.
We're not just gonna sit back and watch our brothers die. We're gonna do something about it.
If you're a gay Black man in America today, your risk of contracting HIV is 1 in 2. I've come to Atlanta, Georgia. Long seen as a mecca for gay Black men, thousands move here each year from across the country to start a new life.
All right, so y'all, I'm gonna do a little dance for y'all. It's a little J-set.
This is 25-year-old Darian, who moved to Atlanta from Huntsville, Alabama in 2014.
So it's all like this. So we'll do it one more time. I came out in 7th grade in middle school. I had this crush on this guy, and someone told him I had a crush on him. So he went back and told his mom, who told the principal, who told my parents. And then he called me to the principal's office and was like, we don't accept that going on in our school. From my stepdad, he was like, he's from that hood, urban side of town. He was like, if I hear one more thing about you being gay, I'll ship you back to your dad.
How old were you when that happened?
I want to say 13, 14.
Hola! Hey.
At the age of 21, Darian left the conservative city for Atlanta, where he could live freely as a gay man. Are you different now, do you think, than the Darian that lived in Alabama?
Yes. I was very shy. Growing up, I was antisocial. I was very skinny, like a twig. When I moved here, I started working out more just to build my muscle up. Started getting tattoos everywhere. I feel like when I say I was going to reinvent myself, I really reinvent myself. Mm-hmm. So I like the new me.
After 3 years in the city, he contracted HIV.
I was feeling very sick. So I remember leaving work, went to the doctor's office, and they said, okay, you have gonorrhea and acute HIV. I was so shocked. I just started thinking, why me? I was just break down crying. It's like, Darion, how did you get yourself to this point where you contracted HIV?
So had you been using condoms consistently before this happened?
A few times, like I want to say 2 or 3 times, I would slip up and not use them. But I would get tested on a regular basis. I would go and get tested from 3 to 6 months. And every time I got tested, it was negative. So I wasn't really worried about it.
Like many young people, Darion was careless with condoms 2 or 3 times. But unlike most young people, his risk of HIV was so high because of who he is and where he is. I've come to meet Tori Cooper, an HIV prevention specialist on the front line of the epidemic in Atlanta.
Some people like black condoms. Some people like non-latex condoms. Some people like insertive condoms. Some people like the larger condoms. A personal favorite. Have you ever seen this before?
I have not.
So it's an FC2, and this is a condom. I want you to open. We're going to open one together. This is great because it goes inside of the receptive partner. And I always tell people, if your partner is bigger around the neck, then you probably should not date him. All right? So,
how much more at risk of contracting HIV are you as a black gay man than a white gay man?
So, a black gay man in the South, his chances of getting HIV are about 1 out of 2. For white gay men, it's closer to around 1 out of 11. So that's really a startling statistic. Sometimes because of their skin color, they have access to certain things that black gay men don't generally. I'm generalizing here. And sometimes that includes access to stuff like PrEP, which stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. And that's for people who are HIV negative. It's a pill that they take once a day that keeps them HIV negative. It keeps them from getting HIV. And what we're finding is, as PrEP continues to roll out, there are a lot more people who are white, who may not be as high risk, who have access to PrEP. If you're someone for whom 85% of the billboards are targeting you, they have pictures of you on there, then you start to realize, hey, this is a message for me. We've had 35 years of messaging for white gay men. They've gotten it, or at least they're getting it, and they're far ahead than everybody else.
Lower rates of health access, education, and income have all been found to play a role in the HIV rate among gay African American men. But these systematic and historical factors are not enough to persuade everyone. Some people place the blame for the HIV epidemic solely on the gay black men living through it.
We live in an era where the morals have vanished out here, and everybody's going to get everything they can get their hands on.
This is Walter Lee Hampton II, a controversial YouTuber on Atlanta's gay scene. As someone who is HIV negative, he's often accused of demonizing gay black men and ignoring the evidence of what's really behind America's HIV problem.
How do you explain the fact that it's still such a problem in the black community and not in the white community? Because for a lot of people, that shows that it isn't just about behavior, it's about things like healthcare and education.
I'm a member of the black gay community. I understand and I see what's going on, and it's unfortunate what I see going on in our community. These guys are not trying to build relationships. White guys are more prone to get into relationships.
I mean, I don't know if that's true.
Well, I know it's true.
If there have been studies done that show that black gay men actually have fewer sexual partners than white gay men.
Well, nobody's going to walk into a study, a person who's taking a study and say, well, you know, I just slept with 5 people in the past 48 hours. People are not going to tell the truth. I know what these guys are doing.
This is like an America-wide study that shows that black men engage in less risky sexual behavior, have fewer partners.
I would take that study and toss it into the trash can. And I'm being very serious with you because I know that's not accurate. I talk to too many people nationwide who tell me partner after partner has insisted that they do not have protected sex. They want
unprotected
sex.
But maybe that's the same
sex
in the white community.
Well, it could be the same in the white community. I can't tell you nothing about what's going on in white America.
So in white America,
I don't know anything.
Men have more sexual partners than black men.
I don't
They're
know anything about
just
that.
Just as likely to I use just, a condom.
I couldn't tell you anything about their sexual practice because I'm not a white man.
My point is, if the sexual behavior doesn't differ, why is the problem so big in the black community? Is it not something systematic that's happening as well as this promiscuity that you see?
When you say systematic, you think somebody's out there injecting these guys with HIV?
No.
Okay, so when you say systematic, what do you mean? Explain it to me.
I mean education, access to healthcare, historical interventions being targeted at the white community. There are a lot of factors that a lot of other people see.
Well, because I'm black and gay, and I've sat here in Atlanta since 1989, and I've witnessed and watched friends all over the United States within the black gay community, I can honestly say promiscuous, risky sexual behavior is the problem. That is the problem.
All right, so this is my HIV meds. I take one a day.
What would happen if you didn't stick to this?
If you don't take your medicine, you will develop AIDS, and they will really kill you. So if you take your medicine, eat right, live right, you keep your T cells higher and your viral loads down. And with that, you'll be able to maintain a HIV positive, undetectable status.
What does it mean to have an undetectable viral load?
You're not able to transmit the virus to somebody else.
So if you're undetectable as you are now, if you sleep with somebody, even unprotected, they would not get HIV.
Mm-mm.
So it's basically impossible for you to transmit HIV to anybody else right now.
Once I take my medicine, there's no way they can get it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
How much does it cost?
Ooh, it costs a lot. But there are different programs out there. Like, this costs $2,000 per bottle. Yeah, $2,000.
In the months following his diagnosis, Darian has joined a group called Thrive. They hold regular meetups where gay black men socialise and talk about their experiences living with HIV. Darian is one of their youngest and newest members.
Some of us were just diagnosed last summer, and some of us have been living with HIV 3+ decades. So if anybody can speak to, like,
the stigma then was so thick because families were rejecting them. Preachers were preaching that this was God's plague. I had friends dying and the church would not do their services. We would have memorial services in bars in our backyards because they wouldn't do it. And then with the medicine making people so sick, a lot of people wouldn't take the medicine. I wouldn't take it. I took AZT for 2 days. I said, no, if I'm going out, bring me a bottle of scotch. I'm going to go out with a bang.
Well, for me, being newly diagnosed, I was like kind of scared at first. My mom, she's a registered nurse, so she sees this all the time, and she would keep preaching to me, make sure you wrap it up. So she was the first one I told, and I was kind of, I feel like I slapped her in the face.
I get angry because I feel like my generation didn't do enough to protect you. That's just me. The first thing that goes through my mind is, you should not be positive, and young men should not be leaving this planet with AIDS, with this disease.
White people, or white men specifically, aren't getting it as much, so the response is totally watered down. And when we think about all of the other things that affect black men, that, you know, when we do the what if around them, so like, what if said thing, what if police brutality were happening against mostly white men, what would the response be then? The onus is always on us. You should have done more to avoid you getting it. We don't challenge or question the systems that are set up that leave us predisposed to getting HIV.
I have to live my truth.
Support systems like Thrive are often life-saving for people living with HIV. But for the most marginalised communities, a lack of support can have dangerous consequences. For black trans women, the HIV rate is also 1 in 2. But their risk of homelessness, drug addiction and prostitution is higher. and each of these make it harder to access the HIV care they need.
Hey.
I met Pearl in Piedmont Park as she did her weekly outreach for the homeless women who live there.
We have jeans, short pants, sweaters, dresses, skirts. These are gift bags, which consist of condoms, lube, makeup, literature, and eyebrow pencils, and all the little accessories every girl needs.
Yeah.
Because there's not too many organizations out there now that are helping transgenders that are homeless and living with HIV. So I took it upon myself to do something like that because I was also homeless and I'm living with HIV. So I was down there with them at one point.
Were you in this park?
Yes. I was on drugs. I was out there prostituting, doing whatever it took to survive.
What do you think it is about being trans as well as black that makes people more likely to end up as homeless?
You dealing with HIV, being trans, being black. You got all them strikes against you. A lot of these trans was damaged from their homes, parents putting them out at young ages. And I know it's got to be a deep down hurt. So I don't think it's never over. And I think that will hold them still into that bad spot where they at.
I dribble my ass like a basketball. John Mulaney told you I was coming last season. Lemon pepper wings, fries, extra season. Go on, dance, girl, get it. It's your season. John Mulaney season, John Mulaney season. Sleeping so good on his Tempur-Pedic. Kiss so good, had to let him eat it. Bitch so bad, had to let him eat it. I'm the girl in the picture. I'm the one when I'm with you. Let's get it.
This is my picture.
Oh.
Next year, Darian will come off his mum's insurance policy, leaving him unable to pay the $2,000 a month he needs for his medicine. Through his support network, he has found out about programs that can help towards the cost. But for other young gay black men across America, these resources simply aren't there.
Right now, I feel like with that younger generation, they feel so isolated from people who has information about medicine or who can't afford medicine, so they don't take it. And that's why it's more the younger generation dying now quicker than the ones who lived through it back in the day.
So if everybody had their viral load
low,
nobody would be catching HIV. Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time, people have simply not cared. When we talk about even the first initial cases, we forget that there were black people suffering and dying at the very beginning as well. And so we became an afterthought even from the beginning.
But I remember a time the communities rallying around young men who were dying and holding them up. To look into faces like Darian and to think, you may not be in this situation if people saw value in your life.
Oh,
Welcome back. Takata pui kahukura rainbow MVP fat whanau. You're tuned back into the Flat Out Pride Hour here on Free FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. Live stream and podcast us via freefm.org.nz, via the accessmedia.nz app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Tuia, ngā reo o te hāpuri, bringing together the voices of our community. That is Free FM's tagline, and Flat Out Pride absolutely supports that kaupapa kōrero. It is definitely about sharing our voices, getting our stories heard, and connecting. For sure, whānau. That last beat there was Tangerine Daydream by Baby Vanga. That last snippet was Gay, Black, and HIV Positive, compliments of The Guardian. I really love the truth of their story and their experience. And of course, you've got to have one controversial person in there. But good and bad go hand in hand. And we do need to see both sides in order to know what sits right for us. E whānau. Hoi anō, Lady H on your mic for your Funky Friday. Coming up on your show, we've got weekend events, what's hot and happening in terms of events in Aotearoa. Gender Therapist Explains Gender Dysphoria, Dr. Z, PhD, Part 1. Next up, we've got Trans Women Ask Trans Men Questions, compliments of BuzzFeed. Then we'll go into a beat, I'd Love to Change the World, from When We Rise Audio, compliments of Sheer Diamond. Stay tuned, we love bringing you our voices.
What's the biggest misconception about trans men?
If there is definitely one stereotype, it's that, like, we're all really bush.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate sports. Mm-hmm. I'm a theater nerd, I don't know. What do you find yourself doing to fit, you know, gender roles, or do you avoid that?
I'm on the binary, you know, I'm a masculine guy, you know, these very, like, traditional kind of gender markers, like, gender identification markers, I'm into it. I like my blue, I like beer, I like football, you know, these kind of very traditional things. So for me, that role is just, it's just who I am.
The fancy male names, like, I've seen, like, Aiden and Reese.
Aiden, Caden, Jaden, I haven't heard Maiden yet. When we get to name ourselves, there's a drive to do it better than maybe we would have been, than it would have happened, you know, at birth. So people are like, what would be a cool name I'd have instead of the name I would have actually been given?
What do you think is the biggest con about being on testosterone?
It's nice that, like, I can build muscle faster. That's just, like, a great perk. Like, there's nothing bad about that. It's excellent.
What was your biggest fear while dating?
Have somebody freak out. Like you know that I'm trans, and then one day, like, you just, like, really realize I'm trans. And it's like, you know, she freaks out. And, you know, and I did have a, you know, I had, you know, I've had a couple incidences where, you know, dating a woman just didn't work out. Like, it was cool. And then all of a sudden, she's just like, no.
With hair and body hair and facial hair and all, and I notice that you don't, you know, like, you don't have a beard, and you talk about, like, what you see as trans masculine relationship to hair.
Yeah, that shit is complicated. I'm not currently capable of growing a beard.
Uh-huh.
So if I were to grow out all my facial hair to the, you know, most of it, its current capacity, I'd have about a third of a mustache. And then, like, and then eighth of a goatee.
Oh my god, we have so much in common.
That's not the look.
It's basically the state of my hair.
Not the look I'm going for.
Yeah. Do you think trans men get clocked less, or would you disagree with that?
I can't tell anybody else's experience, but what I do know is that femininity is policed more than masculinity,
yep.
Right? So the thing is that everybody's looking at a feminine person to see if they are feminine enough, if they're a woman enough, and that necessarily doesn't happen to men on a physical basis. You know, so if a trans woman is really tall, somebody is going to be interrogating her height to see if she's feminine enough. But if a trans guy is really short, no one's going to be doing that to him.
Why are trans men so attractive?
But actually, the reason we're attractive is because the trans fairy comes down, and after 3 days of being on testosterone, they grant us beauty, mm-hmm. wisdom, and they tell us the secret of gender.
Well, see, now everybody knows. So.
Yeah, yeah.
fairies, dykes and fairies, tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor, till there are no rich no more. Nations bleeding, still more feeding the economy. Life is funny, skies are sunny, bees make honey, who needs money? Monopoly.
Mahara mai, no mai hoki mai. Takatāpu kahukura, MVP Faf, and Rainbow Whānau. You're tuned back into the Flat Out Pride Hour here on Free FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. Live stream and podcast us via freefm.org.nz, the access.nz app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Flat Out. That last beat there was I'd Love to Change the World from When We Rise Audio. Sheer Diamond is the artist. Yes, yes, and yes. Hope you're loving the lineup so far. I'm enjoying bringing it to you. Coming up on the show, we've got weekend events, hot, what's hot and happening on your weekend here in Aotearoa. Next up, a gender therapist explains gender dysphoria, part one. Dr. Z, PhD. Then we'll go into a beat. This is Home by Cave Town. That is us, whānau. We love having you on board. We absolutely do. A big flat-out shout-out, of course, to New Zealand On Air. Without you, flat-out pride. And radio stations like Free FM wouldn't be here. A big flat-out shout-out to Free FM. Without you, flat-out pride wouldn't be here. And last but not least, a big flat-out shout-out to you, you fabulous listener, you, that tune in every Friday to hear what's hot and happening on your show. Fridays at 5 on your Free FM dial. Flat out. Lady H on your mic, and we're bringing you the goodness. Of course, the beats peppered through there. That is us. Let's go into part 3, segment 3. Gender Therapist Explains Gender Dysphoria, Dr. Z, PhD.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Z. Welcome to my channel. I thought it might be a good idea to discuss feelings of dysphoria. You may know this is a very large topic, so in order to cover all aspects of it, I'm going to do a three-part series. In this first video, I'll talk about what constitutes feelings of dysphoria, as well as the severity of it. In the second video to follow, I will talk about the absence of dysphoria in gender-diverse individuals, meaning people who are gender-diverse and even undergo either full or partial transition, but who don't experience dysphoric feelings. And finally, in a third video, I'll talk about things you can do to help you cope with feelings of dysphoria. So let's talk about dysphoric feelings and what constitutes feelings of dysphoria. Chances are many of you know exactly what I'm talking about today. And if not, you may be wondering if some of the feelings you have are actually feelings of dysphoria. Or maybe you're an ally, trying to get a better understanding what constitutes gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria is generally considered a feeling of discomfort. It's a feeling of unease and dissatisfaction with one's gender or anything gender-related, either physical characteristic or social markers of gender. But not just any discomfort. For those not familiar with dysphoria, let me give you a general contrast that's very reductionistic but can help you understand, so bear with me. Here's an example. Have you ever had a really bad haircut? I mean, really, really bad one. And if you haven't, just imagine anything else. Pimples, for example. Well, when you get a bad haircut, you hate it. In fact, you hate how you look, especially how your face looks. No matter what you do, it just doesn't look good. It makes you feel very unattractive. You don't want to leave the house. You don't want to go out. You don't want to socialize. All you want to do is hide. Well, gender dysphoria often feels similarly, except it is in relation to your gender. Now, where's the bad haircut? We know it's temporary, right? With gender dysphoria, it is not. The feeling of gender dysphoria is persistent. It is frequent. It can occur on a daily basis. It can also vary in intensity. This is primarily because gender is a big part of how we are seen and interacted with in the world. Whereas a bad haircut is just one aspect of our expression, gender is so much more than that. Think about it. For example, everything about your body screams gender. Your face, body hair, broad shoulders, your chest, and most importantly, your genitals. All the things we got because of the puberty are there to mark a representation of how we're seen in the binary world. Gender dysphoria also varies from one person to another person. Some people feel a strong dissatisfaction with their genitals, while others just don't. Some hate their facial hair, while others feel very dysphoric about their voice. While some people don't experience any dysphoria at all, and I'm going to talk about that more in video number 2. Just like gender is a spectrum, so are feelings of dysphoria. What's worse, once you're out the door, people gender you based on a variety of scannable markers. If, for example, in their mind you come across as male, they will automatically use male pronouns and will interact with you in a very male-centric way. The social interactions further reinforce and intensify feelings of dysphoria. In many ways, dysphoria is a form of invisible handicap. Now, let's look back at our bad haircut example for a second here. If you got a bad haircut and you go out, chances are most people are just going to politely ignore it. Nobody's going to be a douchebag and call you out on it. But imagine the opposite were true. Imagine you stop at Starbucks on the way to work, and the first thing the barista says when she sees you is, "Hey, that's an ugly haircut." Then you arrive at work, and every coworker proceeds to mention how bad your hair is. Now, when you already feel awful about your hair, the last thing you want to feel is being reminded of it. Fortunately, when it comes to bad hair, most people are mindful enough to ignore it. Gender dysphoria, on the other hand, and how much discomfort you feel about it, is invisible. People assume you are the gender you present to be and that you are comfortable with it. This leads to increasing dysphoria because no matter where you go, you cannot hide your gender. So when one already feels strong discomfort with their gender, being misgendered continuously is like taking a beating to your inner self again and again and again. It is incredibly painful and can lead to symptoms of depression, anxiety, feelings of hopelessness, and even suicidal thoughts. Feeling gender dysphoria is not a joke. It is incredibly serious. Many individuals take their own lives because of the pain they feel when they experience gender dysphoria. As mentioned, it varies from person to person. It also varies in intensity, with some days being better, while other things being completely worse. It can also sneak up on you when you least expect it. I like to call it kind of like a silent assassin that springs up on you when you're just kind of not anticipating it. One morning you may be feeling good and confident, and suddenly you're overcome with dysphoria. You feel paralyzed, unable to move. But hey, I'm just a cis woman. I have taken my gender for granted my entire life. The only way to understand the painful reality of dysphoric feelings, I have asked many individuals to share in their own words their experiences of gender dysphoria. Now I'm warning you, these are raw feelings. And while I can't read all of the comments because I got so many responses, I will list as many of them as I can in the end of the video as part of the credits, because it is important to hear them. So here are some of the randomly selected things that I would like to read for you. Being in someone else's body, hating parts of you that are beautiful because they don't feel like yours, not feeling comfortable in any clothes such as debilitating way, when you just feel like a foreign alien in a human body, nothing feels right, you look in a mirror and you don't feel like you're really looking back at yourself, like I want to rip my face off. Some days I wish I could wake up and just see my chest gone, just flat and beautiful the way it should be. Like I'm resigned to the fact that I exist, rather than at peace or even happy with it. Dysphoria is the emotional punch in the gut that I am what I feel I am. That incongruence, it is feeling like an imposter, or worse, a sad joke. Working really hard on no sleep, and then I catch my reflection at 3 a.m. Still no sleep. And I just look like the monster version of my father. The stress that suffered due to being seen as another gender, or looking like the gender in which you clearly aren't. I call it finding the girl in the mirror. Dysphoria prevents it from happening all the time. Dysphoria lies and tells me that I'm too ugly, hairy, old, and masculine to try and live my life as a woman. It prevents me from seeing things for how they really are. The frustrating part is that I know that it is dysphoria and it is lying, and still doesn't matter. When you look in a mirror and can't recognize your own body as human, let alone yours, like you're physically not part of your own body. I have pages and pages and pages of raw accounts of individual experiences of what dysphoria feels like. And I truly appreciate everybody who were able to trust me with their words and voice their feelings. I really encourage all of you who are watching this video to comment below and share what are your feelings of dysphoria, how you cope with dysphoria, because other people watching this video might find it very helpful. Bye.
Cannot fall in love, but I guess this avoids the stress of falling out of it. Are you tired of me yet? I'm a little sick right now, but I swear when I'm ready I will fly us out of here. Stare. beat my chest and I'll figure out a way to get us out of here. And ghouls wrapping my head, but I don't want to fall asleep just yet. My eyes went dark. I don't know where my pupils are, but I'll figure out a way to get us out of here. Get a load of this monster who doesn't know how to communicate. His mind is in a different place. Will everybody please give him a little bit of space? Get a load of this train wreck. His hair's a mess and he doesn't know.
Haramai nei mai hoki mai. Takata apui kahukura MVP Fef and Rainbow Whānau. You're tuned back into the Flat Out Pride Hour here on Free FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. You can live stream and podcast us via freefm.org.nz, via accessmedia.nz app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify and iHeartRadio. Tuia ngā reo o te hāpuri. Free FM's tagline and Flat Out Pride absolutely supports that kaupapa kōrero. Yes. We're going into what is hot and happening for your coming weekend here in Aotearoa in terms of events. That last beat there was This Is Home by Cave Town. Yes, yes, and yes. So, what is happening? Friday the 31st of March. Yeah, we have hit March. A Waikato show is happening at the Claudelands Event Centre. And that's for the whole weekend, whānau. Room service featuring Ice Cube, Cypress Hill and more in Christchurch at the Hagley Park Special Events area. Clevedon Twilight Market at the Farmers Market there in Clevedon. Taranaki Beer Festival at the TSB Stadium, and that's for the whole weekend. Movie night tonight at the Gardens at the Auckland Botanic Gardens. A Life on Our Planet by David Attenborough. Still on your Friday, Board Game Club at Escapist NZ. That is 1 Bar 36 Bryce Street. Basement Jack's DJ set in Auckland at the Auckland Town Hall. Ooh, nice. Battle of Ōrākau Memorial Commemoration at Lake Arapuni Road in Arapuni. For your Saturday community gardening, all is welcome at 3 Mahi Road Te Kauwhata. With the price of kind nowadays, whānau, it's probably worth going for a listen and a learn. Ngārua Wāhia Pound Pups Pool Party at Market Street in Ngārua Wāhia. Mama Community Day at Ngā Whare Wātia, That's still for your Saturday whānau. That's 31 Calthorpe Close in Favona, Auckland. Nice. Mama Day. Symphony in the Domain. So that's happening at the Auckland Domain in Tamaki Makaurau. Get your tickets from symphony.flickit.co.nz. And that is happening at 2 o'clock. Gold, Good as Gold Fest. And that's at 19 Tamaki Drive in Ōrākei, Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. Room service featuring Ice Cube, Cypress Hill and more in Auckland at the Trusts Arena for your Saturday. Whee. Soaked Oats with Nga Noise, working title tour in Auckland. So that is being held at 20 St. George's Road in Avondale. Get your tickets from Under the Radar or lowercase all one word .co.nz. Locker Room Sports Kit Party. Wee, that's at the Phoenix Cabaret, level 1 at 258 K Road in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. That's compliments of the New Zealand Falcons. Get your tickets from iticket.co.nz. For your Sunday, BDO Parihaka Trail Run is happening at the Glen Burvey Edition. So it's in the forest whānau. So get your tickets from raceroster.com. Nice. Auckland Vegan Food Truck Festival is happening at Victoria Park in Auckland. Get your tickets from Event Finder, that's with an A, not an E-R, .co.nz. Soak and Sounds for your Sunday at the Mount Hot Pools, 9 Adams Ave in Mount Maunganui. For your Wednesday next week, the 5th, it is Beyond Binary, peer group up at Rainbow Hub Waikato, that's 1 bar 36 Bryce Street in Hamilton. For your Thursday, the 6th of April, Taka Thursdays at the Elephant Wrestler, and that is what is hot and happening for your coming weekend. Now I'm sure there's lots and lots of events on whānau, so be sure to post them up, send them out to everyone so they can get in on the goodness. I'm going to leave you with a beat. The song is called React by Switch Disco and Robert Miles. Stay tuned, whānau. Have a great weekend wherever you are, whomever you're getting up to. Remember, condoms and lube are your safest form of protection. Love, light and laughter out to y'all. Keep warm, keep safe. Until next week, Māori Ora.
Every time that you touch touch me, my body reacts.
Thanks for listening to this Free FM podcast. If you want to hear more content like this, you can support Free FM via Patreon. Head to patreon.com/freefm89 to find out more.